Hello!
Welcome to BSP, Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris, I'm the Believer.
I'm Cody, I'm the Skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we are an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast and proud members of the Podmoth Network.
And this is a...
And this is a full episode. Shit.
No, it's not.
I always forget. Oh, shit. It's a mini episode. I always forget something. So
he was like looking up at the sky, like trying so hard to remember everything.
And I forgot anyway. So anyhow, well, yeah. This is a full episode. You want to explain
is it?
That?
Yeah. Or is it a full episode?
God damn it. A mini episode. Minnesota.
I'm so glad that our minisodes are unedited, because this will be fun for our listeners. So if this is your first time listening, we record a full episode every other week where we have a paranormal topic. We share stories, information, do believe or skeptic. For our minisode, we do one story a piece. It's just 10-15 minutes. And it teases the upcoming topic. So it's a game to see if you can guess the upcoming topic from the stories. Now for this one, what do you think?
I don't know your story. Well, I know what it's about, but the connection's there. I don't explicitly say it, but it's kind of, it could be a few things based on my story.
Yeah, I think this one, I think the last one was so easy.
Yeah.
That the Ouija, but this one is going to be harder.
And just so you all know, we are recording remote. Cody will be back this week, so we'll be back in person in a couple of weeks, but it's all
good. Yeah.
I wanted to make an announcement too. We have been selected to do a live show in a month from now on November the 12th at, it's called TusCon, which is a sci-fi fantasy convention in Tucson, and we are the only podcast that is presenting that weekend. So if you are in Tucson, go, and we will also post the link in the notes so you can find more information.
Oh, actually, no, that's so cool. I didn't know we were the only ones doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah. And so I was trying to think, oh yeah, and also so people know, we are in October, and so our episode, this will be another Halloween episode, our second one of the month. And so that will be, you know, if you're thinking Halloween stuff, that could be a clue for this minisode and our topic as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. With that, should we get into it?
Let's get into it. And I think I went first last time.
All right. I'll go ahead and start then. For my story today, I'm going to tell you about a woman from Ireland known as Ellis Keiteler. So Ellis was born into a wealthy Flemish family of merchants who had settled in Kilkenny in the mid-1200s.
Oh, this is old.
Absolutely.
Oh, and Flemish, that's fun.
So you're about, what, 10 then?
Oh my God. I was like, fuck, here it comes.
In 1280, Ellis married her first husband, William Outlaw. William was also a wealthy merchant as well as a moneylender. The two had a son, also called William, who, after being declared an adult, became mayor of Kilkenny as well as Ellis's lifetime business partner. It was very common back in this time for wives and/or mothers of merchants to be involved in the family business. Well, after 5 years of marriage, William Senior became ill and passed away suddenly. Not long after his death, Ellis would marry a second time. This time, she married Adam LeBlund of Callan, also a wealthy moneylender. It was said that
I'm sensing a theme with her.
Oh, just you wait.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. I ain't saying she a gold digger.
It was said that Adam and Ellis had been accused of murdering her first husband, but this could never be proven in any sense. So a few years into Ellis's and Adam's marriage, Adam signed over all his financials and wealth to his stepson, William, and his wife. And not very long after that, Adam, Ellis's second husband, also died suddenly and mysteriously. Some say due to alcoholism, but not worry, we don't know. So, not to worry, Ellis would remarry again.
Let me guess. A wealthy merchant.
Well, actually, this time, Richard de Valle was a wealthy landowner.
Oh.
Yeah. And don't you know it, Richard too would face the same demise as his predecessors only 5 years into that marriage.
Oh my God.
Well, after Richard's untimely death, Ellis began a legal suit against her stepson, also named Richard, for withholding the equivalent of what in modern times we would call a life insurance policy. And wouldn't you know it, Ellis would marry a fourth time just a few years later.
Oh my God.
This time she married a knight, Sir John Lepore. And wouldn't you guess it, just a few years into their marriage.
Let me guess, they lived happily ever after.
Well, Sir John started to become ill.
Oh my God, of course he did.
It was said that he had become weak, sick, and that his hair and nails started to fall out.
Oh shit, ew.
Not very long before he would succumb, Sir John would change his will to benefit Ellis and her son William, of course. After his death, Sir John's children became rightfully suspicious and then started to compare notes with the children and families of Ellis's previous three husbands. With that suspicion, Ellis's stepchildren began to cry witchcraft, a very common criminal offense at the time, and came before the Bishop of Ossory, Richard Ledred. A court of inquisition convened consisting of five knights and many noblemen. The claim was that Ellis had bewitched her fourth husband and forced him to change his will. Ellis was accused of heading a coven of witches, having sex with a demon called Artisan, and sacrificing animals to that demon.
Wow.
Additionally, she was accused of stealing the church keys and holding dark meetings in there at night.
That is racist.
Regarding her husbands, it was said that Ellis had murdered her first three husbands only after convincing them to sign over their wealth and had poisoned the last one. Following the initial accusations, a lengthy legal and political battle would ensue. The bishop attempted to get temporal authority to arrest and condemn Ellis, William Jr., and some of her friends and servants, but ultimately he failed. Instead, the bishop was arrested and imprisoned himself.
What?
I don't know why I couldn't find that reason, but I thought that was insane.
That's wild.
Yeah. Upon his release, he continued his fight and demanded that Ellis appear before him, but she refused and absconded to England.
Oh, my God.
A year later, Ellis returned to Ireland, requesting the condemnation of the bishop for excommunicating her. Eventually, the bishop would return to Kilkenny again, asking for Ellis's arrest, this time successfully. Ellis was placed in the dungeon of the local castle and was said to have given a sentence, of being whipped in the streets, tied to the back of a horse and cart, and ultimately being burned at the stake.
God, that is like 19 punishments.
Yeah, somehow.
But let me guess, she ended up marrying the bishop. And taking his money and killing him.
What did you think?
Yeah.
Somehow the brother of Alice's first husband believed her and organized her escape. The guards of the castle were beaten and Alice was captured and released. Despite her escape, trials were still held and Alice's son, William, was convicted and given a light sentence of attending three daily masses, giving alms to the poor, and repairing the cathedral roof.
Okay.
Ellis and William's less wealthy friends would not fare so well, specifically her maid Petronella. In the place of Ellis, Petronella was condemned for sorcery and offering sacrifice to demons, resulting in her being tortured, whipped, and burned at the stake in public. She would be known, unfortunately and infamously, for being the first woman to be burnt at the stake for heresy in Ireland.
Wow.
As for Ellis Keiteler, she again escaped to England, never to be heard from again.
Damn.
Yeah.
So when she was burned at the stake, did it ward off mosquitoes? Oh, no. I had
Petronella, not citronella. Oh,
I was
God.
Like, wait a minute. This is really weird.
It took me a minute to get that.
Oh, I was trying to, my brain was like, what is this word? I think I know this. I was way off there.
Petronella.
Petronella. Wow. So she must have some magical pussy for all of that.
The only excuse/theory that I read is that she had a lot of money and money talks. So I think that had a lot to do with it. She like was one of the richest people around in that village. So
I just can't, like, I'm trying to imagine Sir John's kids talking to all of her stepchildren and being like, so how did your dad die? Like, and Liz finding out like, well, my dad, he died because, and just going back to each one and not connecting the dots seems really weird.
What surprises me most, honestly, is that this has happened almost, what, 1,000 years ago?
Yeah.
And they're still record, it's on the books, you know, so I think that's pretty cool.
That is really cool. It also just seems like, how did they catch any criminals back then? You know, like, because science and all that crap was so rudimentary. I just feel like you could get away with anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as you were willing to run afterward.
Yeah.
But, man, okay, well, my story is not that many twists and turns, and it's a little shorter. But mine is titled La Lechuza in Texas. Yeah, so I know that we did a La Lechuza episode before. You talked about it.
Our live episode, yeah.
Yep, that's right. But I found a story of someone's experience that I wanted to share, and then someone's comment to the story. So,
do you want to explain first what a lechuza is?
Why don't you?
It's hard to explain without giving it away.
I know. That's why I was like, if they want to know, they can look
go
it
back
up.
To that.
But
we'll
basically say it was a sorcerer lady who could turn into an owl, basically. Yes. Or it was an owl.
Shapeshifter.
Yeah. A shapeshifter. There you go. That's it. So the story starts off growing up with my grandmother in Farr, Texas, but it's Pharr, was filled with stories of lechuzas and duendes, which were little elf beings snatching bratty children. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
Yeah.
A story of my great aunt Kina came up that I could never forget and deserve some recognition. It all started with a little scandal of a relative. This relative's new lover went down to Mexico to find a witch to cast illness to the children that belonged to the first wife. So this bitch comes in, marries, and says, I want my old children that aren't even mine, like the stepchildren, to hurt because I'm a selfish whore. So, but it turns out it worked. And all of those children got sick, especially the youngest, Leandro, who ended up with warts all over his face and in his eyes. He got warts in his eyeballs.
Gross.
Ooh, can you imagine blinking and just feeling warts sliding across your eye? he also got a burning temperature, and they said that this little boy was going to die. Now, out of all my grandmother's sisters, Tia Kina, small 100-pound woman, found it in herself to do something. She got the Bible, held the poor boy, and prayed for life. She started chanting a special prayer backwards, and it says here, and if you know Spanish prayer, that's hard.
True.
So I was trying to picture that. Then suddenly, a lechuza flew in and started attacking my aunt. They say it was a big brown owl with the face of a woman. So my aunt grabs the ugly owl as it's now trying to pry away from her, and as she has it in her grasp, she continues the special prayer, reading Spanish backwards, trying to kill it. As she finished the chant, the little boy is getting clawed up and scars all around his body, but the lechuza starts cowering away.
So all his warts are bleeding now? Gross.
Oh my, ew, I didn't even think about that, and they spread too.
Ew.
Ew, just warty, scarry boy, poor little boy. So by this point, there's feathers all around the room, but she fought the creepy owl off with some straight love and devotion. I can't say much for the relative who caused all this, the bitch, but I can say the little boy lived. After almost losing his eyesight, he got better. He still has scars on his face as a 60-year-old man, though.
Wow.
My Tia Kina died of breast cancer shortly thereafter, leaving little ones behind. It is said that whatever it was that the lechuza was trying to kill the young boy with flew into her body and caused her cancer.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, she passed away, but her story isn't forgotten.
That sucks.
Yeah, I thought that was just a really sweet, nice, like crazy story.
Yeah.
Well, there was a comment to this story, and it's just meh, but I'm sharing it to take a little time, and also because I have a debunk, but also literally the commenter put like a million exclamation marks after every sentence, even if it wasn't a sentence that had any like purpose of being, you know, exclaimed. So the comment.
Are you going to scream through the whole comment then?
The number of exclamation marks will determine my reading. My friend and I were in the house when we heard our kitty screaming and crying and banging on the outside of the house. We ran out and the cat seemed fine. It was a big front yard with a light pole in the middle, and on top of it was this huge, huge, huge owl-like creature. My friend and I didn't know what to do. We were on the porch talking, and the creature swung its head around like an owl, sort of, but huge, and we freaked. And before you knew it, we heard it flapping its wings, and it landed on the roof above us. Oh, Lord, we ran. Oh, and since then, it's been sighted again there. And I moved, and I've heard it screeching here. They are here. Where they live, where they eat, I don't know. Oh, but I know they're real.
That is the best reading of a comment ever.
Thank you. I'm pretty proud of it. Literally every time I did that inflection, it was because there were exclamation marks all over the place.
So what's your debunk?
I think that what they saw was a harpy eagle. Because have you seen those things?
God. They don't have human faces, though.
But they kind of do when you look at them. People say that it looks like a human in a costume. And they're like, whoo! So that's my debunk, is that it's a harpy eagle that was flying up there and messing with him.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
it's possible, but...
Impossible, yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I think... I think this one's pretty easy.
It is, yeah. The connection's there, but...
Yeah.
But they're both very fun stories, so...
Very fun, very different. So everyone, try to guess. Tell us what your guesses are. Did people get the Ouija? I'm sure they did.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody even guessed because we were just... both of us were like, yeah, it's so obvious, so whatever, you know?
Yeah, you don't even have to say.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, everyone, tune in next week. Hear our second and final Halloween episode. It's going to be a lot of fun and super creepy. Let us know what your guesses are. Yep. And we'll see you next week. And bye.